Please listen carefully.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Hansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
We are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
6 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are clearly sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy, oh, the birds are singing and it's time to clean my house again-worthy, quarantine-worthy podcast. Today is Tuesday, April 14th, 2020.
And here are today's top solutions.
Before we get started today, Christy, just want to check in. How you doing?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm good. I feel a little bit more together than I did yesterday. I have to say Mondays, even with the work at home, are always hard for me.
Yeah, Mondays are still Mondays. No question. All right. Well, good. Well, I too am feeling pretty positive. So let's jump into the environment. The dramatic drop in carbon emissions due to the coronavirus is quantified. Well, we've written quite a bit about the pollution-free skies being seen all around the world, but we have yet to quantify what that means for the environmental record over the course of the year, until now. According to data commissioned by The Guardian, global carbon emissions from the fossil fuel industry could fall by a record 2.5 billion metric tons this year, a reduction of 5%. In 2020 alone, the coronavirus is expected to cut billions of barrels of oil, trillions of cubic meters of gas, and millions of tons of coal from the global energy system. This would lead to the fossil fuel industry's biggest drop in CO2 emissions on record in a single year, eclipsing the carbon slumps triggered by the largest recessions of the last 50 years combined. The big question now is what the virus will mean for emissions in the long term. One analyst put it like this: if we learn that remote working can work, people may begin to question whether we need to take long-haul flights or meet in person. This could alter whether demand for oil ever recovers to the levels we've seen in previous years. I'm going to add to this, Christy, that, you know, what are we, 6-7 weeks into doing this? And I find myself, as I look ahead toward the future, wondering whether or not I'm going to return to my long commute to and from the office, or whether or not we might find childcare closer to home and I might work from home. So I know that even my own behavior of having a commute up to our headquarters, I'm wondering whether or not we have to do it anymore. Of course, I will miss seeing you, though. So that could be the biggest reason to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be either or. I think it's amusing to me that you think we've been doing this for 6 or 8 weeks, because it's actually been about 4. Time is not, it's sort of lost meaning, I think.
What are you talking about? It's not day 11,352.
No, it just feels like it is.
You are absolutely right. It was 4 weeks ago. Exactly. All right, on to the next.
our next solution, and we're leaving the coronavirus behind here, which is kind of a break, a nice break. This is from our innovation section on the Optimist Daily. Scientists have developed an AI system that translates thoughts into text. If you haven't heard of locked-in syndrome, it is a rare neurological disorder where the patient is awake and conscious, but locked in their body due to complete paralysis of all voluntary muscles in the body, but with a normal exception being their eyes. In a bid to aid communication for patients who are unable to speak or type, such as those with locked-in syndrome, scientists have recently developed a system that can turn brain activity directly into text, an important stepping stone towards speech prosthesis technology. To test their system, the researchers recruited 4 participants who had electrode arrays implanted in their brains for monitoring purposes. They asked the participants to repeatedly read sentences aloud while collecting neural information. A data sheet they then used to train an algorithm to interpret the signals even when the subjects weren't reading aloud. While it still has its weaknesses, the accuracy of the system was far higher than in previous approaches, with an error rate of just 3% for each sentence, compared to that of 5% for professional human transcribers. And despite that it's now just a prototype, the system represents a breakthrough in communication technology that could one day help ease the lives of people who are unable to type or speak. And the further consequences of this or the further implications of this are really something from science fiction, if you ask me, Summers. We might be able to think what we want to say and send a text while driving.
Yeah, there's a startup in Santa Barbara called Cognition that is working on this as well. It's really exciting technology. And even though it is sort of a thing of the future and kind of has some nerve-wracking implications, you also think about folks who maybe have Alzheimer's or who are otherwise verbally challenged. This could be just fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like Lou Gehrig's disease or, you know, ALS, that's one of the scariest things to me personally, because you are locked in, you can't move, but your mind is completely intact. And to be able to communicate more freely would be a tremendous gift.
Such a gift. Moving on to another section of the Optimist Daily, business. To help small restaurants, delivery service DoorDash is slashing fees. DoorDash is reducing commissions for local restaurant partners by 50% in an effort to help businesses survive the COVID-19 crisis. The food delivery service says the program will benefit over 150,000 restaurants in the U.S., Canada, and Australia on both DoorDash and Caviar, the rival delivery app it purchased from Square last year. In particular, the program is for restaurants with 5 or fewer locations. DoorDash started applying the reduced commission fees on April 13th and will continue charging the reduced prices through the end of May. In its announcement, the company wrote that the program is an injection of up to $100 million and is an addition to previous COVID-19 response programs it announced mid-March. As the company explained to The Verge, it won't exactly be giving out money. It simply expects the value of reduced commissions to reach that amount. And in case the value of reduced commissions goes beyond $100 million before May ends, it will continue charging eligible restaurants only 50% of the expected charge. Restaurants typically pay companies like DoorDash pretty hefty commission fees in order to make By slashing those fees by 50%, businesses can serve and make money from the increasing number of customers getting delivery due to COVID-19. Have you guys ordered food delivery, Christy?
Only pizza. I haven't used DoorDash. I think we've used Grubhub a couple of times, but mostly I've been cooking from home.
Yeah, we used Postmates last night for delivery. We're just kind of beat and didn't want to have to clean the kitchen again. And so, and it was a really interesting experience, because the delivery person, you know, here they are, a person who you wouldn't normally think is like risking their life to be service. But the gentleman showed up wearing full mask and gloves, and he had a driver, and their driver was in mask and gloves. And we tipped heavily and felt good about that tip. And it made all the difference for us just not to have to cook for a night.
Yeah, the pizza we ordered is like that. And also I've used Instacart and similar thing. You know, the fact that our groceries were delivered by somebody who took it on themselves to be out there in the world. If you can afford it and you want to use that, I mean, I think it's important to acknowledge those people are doing a real service.
Absolutely.
And so good for DoorDash for reducing their profit so they can actually support these businesses right now. I think those kinds of things are going to be essential for keeping our economy healthy or getting it back to healthy once we can really go back. And it shows that this is a potential inflection point for how business is done in the future. And so if we continue to enjoy things like DoorDash or Grubhub or Postmates or Uber Eats or whatever you're using, if that becomes more we're used to it, then that quantity of those kinds of delivery services is going to go up, and they should reduce their commissions, because that'll be how restaurants are surviving.
Well, this next article, more on the home front, I think you picked this one just for me, huh?
Yeah, this is something I'm giving for you, Summers. This is some tips for you. It's from our lifestyle section. It's these 10 hacks will make you a pro at cleaning for your own home. If you're living a life in lockdown, you probably have no excuse to avoid cleaning your house. If that's still on your to-do list, here are 10 clever hacks that will make cleaning the house a better, smarter experience. Number 1, clean the shower while you're in it. When you're almost done showering, grab a squeegee to wipe down the walls and use a rag to mop up the moisture along the bottom. By doing this, you'll turn the task of cleaning a shower into something quick and perhaps enjoyable. Number 2, illuminate the dirt. Switch on a flashlight and lay it on the floor before you sweep or vacuum. That way you'll see the last speck of dust, helping you have a more thorough cleaning. Number 3, flip rugs over for a deep clean. Most of us vacuum just one side of a rug and call it clean. But if you really want to make sure it's clean, flip it over for a second pass of the vacuum and then return it to its proper side and repeat. Number 4, open your windows as you clean. The introduction of fresh air immediately takes a room from stale and musty to smelling fresh and clean. It serves a practical purpose too, helping flush indoor contaminants and viral particles outside. Number 5, use tongs to clean the blinds. Wrap the ends of a set of tongs in small rags and attach them with an elastic band. Now grab one slat of the blinds with the tongs and move along it. The rags will clean on top and below simultaneously. That's a pretty good tip, actually. Number 6, open those blinds. Pull the blinds up and let the light in. And there's even some evidence that UV rays can damage most microorganisms and viruses, so it'll give you a little bit of sunlight cleaning. Number 7, make a pile on your bed. If you're cleaning your bedroom, heap all of the clothing and pillows and other items on top of your bed so that when you go to bed, you have no choice to put it all away before sleeping. And finally, use toothpaste as a cleaner. Did you know that toothpaste can get rid of stray marker or crayon lines created by children who get overly enthusiastic in their home school artistic endeavors? According to Good Housekeeping, toothpaste works wonders on marker stains, on wood surfaces, and walls. It also works on things like silverware, leather scuffs, and piano keys.
There are 2 more, Christy. You're not done yet.
Oh, okay. Whoops. Well, the next one then. Use lemon and salt to clean wood. The combination of salt and lemon can clear buildup on butcher block style countertops and wooden cutting boards. And finally, use your dishwasher creatively. Dishwashers don't have to be just for dishes. You can wash plenty of things in them that are heat resistant, such as toys and tools. Just don't wash your dishes at the same time. All right, Summers, that's a lot of cleaning tips there.
I know.
Are you ready to go?
For anyone listening, this isn't because I don't clean my house. This is because I clean my house obsessively. It is my therapy is to have a tidy, tidy home. But I also have a home that is made for 4 people, but we have 5 people living in it, plus 2 cats and a dog and a partridge and a pear tree. So I love this article, and I think I knew about using the dishwasher creatively because I wash Brennan's toys in them a fair amount, but definitely some great tips in there. And I am going to go clean those blinds with tongs later today. All right. Now, when I'm not obsessively cleaning my house in between Zoom meetings, I am being inspired by organizations like the one in our next story. Our final story today is from the food section of the Optimist Daily. California Food Bank meets increasing needs with drive-through pantries. Food banks are experiencing increased demand in the face of COVID-19. Dedicated volunteers are working hard to bring supplies to those in need. One food pantry in Ventura County is opening up drive-through sites to connect residents with food assistance safely and efficiently. FoodShare, Ventura's regional food bank, has organized pop-up food box sites throughout the county. Residents simply drive to the site, show identification through their car window, and a volunteer will load a box of food supplies into their trunk. The system is as low contact as possible to keep residents and volunteers healthy. The boxes are prepackaged and include a bag of fruit. FoodShare has reported a significant increase in demand for its services as the pandemic impacts employment and financial security. The pop-ups are happening at different sites on different days in Oxnard, Thousand Oaks, Ventura, Ojai, Camarillo, and Santa Paula. Community resources, including food banks, restaurants, and individuals, are stepping up to connect those in need with food supplies. This drive-through food bank pop-up is an ingenious way to get food to low-income residents while maintaining health and safety precautions. One thing, so I happen to know the CEO of FoodShare, and she expressed to me that the way that everyone can help is actually just through donations at this time. So financial donations, instead of if you're not going out to eat one night, maybe send that donation to your, you know, that financial donation to your local food bank, because they definitely need more resources to help us all get through this pretty tricky time.
Yeah, and this is clearly focused on the Southern California region, but I think food banks all over the country are really feeling this. So it is it's a great way to, if you have extra resources, to donate to food banks and to and financial donations are better than actual food donations at this point from regular people. Great. Well, thank you so much, Summers, and thank you everyone for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and for just $5 a month, support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution, changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening.
Have a great day.